This is the audio presentation covering the assignments in Greek lessons 17, 18, and 19. Please open your textbook to page 247 and look at the bases listed there. The last bases to be learned for use in full etymological exercises like word analysis and sentences. Oh, happy day! The first, chore, C-H-O-R-E, is a base meaning dance. To that definition, add sing as well as sing and dance. The ancients almost never did one without the other. But today we often separate those activities. Thus, modern choruses tend to sing but not dance, and choreographers usually direct dancers, not singers. So this word has specialized in two different directions. To err, E-R, or erot, E-R-O-T, meaning love, add the sense sex. You're in college. There's no point in being coy. That's what it means. And note that you've already encountered another Greek base for love, phil, P-H-I-L, in Greek lesson 8. As a general rule, erot is used in reference to sexual attraction, and phil to non-sexual love. Philanthropy, philately, meaning stamp collecting. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Though there are exceptions. Pedophilia, zoophily, philander. If you're interested, look those words up in the dictionary. But for the record, I didn't teach them to you. I have nothing of import to add to the rest of the bases in this lesson, other than in naut, N-A-U-T, meaning sailor, you might recognize its Latin cognate, nav, N-A-V, meaning ship. Mr. Ayres didn't include that base back in the Latin section of the textbook, but it's not hard to remember. Navy, naval, navigate. So you really don't have to learn it. You know it already. Greek lessons 18 and 19 entail a different sort of memorization from what we've been doing so far in the second half of the class. In the same way the first part of the course, the Latin section, ended with a look at terms and words which come straight from Latin and employ roots rarely seen elsewhere in English, here Mr. Ayres does much the same with Greek. Beginning on page 250, he cites a number of Greek-based words, and in some cases pure Greek ones with their original ancient endings, that are built on roots seldom seen in English outside of that particular word. That makes the base not worth memorizing. Instead, just learn the word itself. So we'll end this audio presentation by reviewing some of the words in these lessons. Only the ones I mentioned below do I expect you to know. Moreover, all you'll be asked to do on the final exam is match these words to their definition. So let's start with section 1 on page 250. The first word I want you to learn is number 2, elegiac, a word that means expressing sorrow. Next is number 3, catharsis, meaning purification. Then number 4, onomatopoeic, meaning sounding like what it means. Surely that comes as no surprise. At the top of the next page, number 5, panegyric, a speech in praise of a person or thing. And number 8, prosody, the rules of poetry and poetic meter. That's it for that section. Please note you're not required to know the words I didn't mention here, that is, those in sentences 1, 6, and 7. In section 2, please learn the following words. Number 2, bucolic, meaning rural or typical of country life. Number 4, cynosure, meaning the center of attention, literally a dog's tail, that is, what catches your attention. What a great word. Someone with real imagination made that one up. Number 5, didactic, meaning intended for instruction. Number 6, hedonism, meaning the pursuit of pleasure. Number 7, hegemony, meaning superior leadership or authority. It's usually employed in a political context. Number 9, peripatetic, meaning wandering or itinerant. And finally, number 10 at the top of the next page, polemic, meaning an aggressive attack. That's it for section 2. Remember, you need to know only the words I just mentioned, none of the others. In section 3, please learn the following words. Number 4, deleterious, meaning harmful. Number 5, diatribe, meaning an invective or tirade. Number 6, empirical, meaning based on experiment or observation. Number 8, esoteric, meaning understood by only a few or belonging to an inner circle. Number 9, ethereal, meaning light, airy, or delicate. Number 11, anodyne, meaning a medicine that relieves pain. Number 12, paroxysm, meaning an attack or a sharp spasm. Number 14, sardonic, meaning mocking. And finally, number 15, at the top of page 253, sycophant. Let's use the simpler term, not the adverb sycophantically, meaning flatterer, toady, or kiss-up. That last word, sycophant, has a fascinating, if somewhat problematical, history. In ancient Greek, sycophant means literally fig, sukko, informer or shower, fant. One etymological explanation runs like this. The reference is to a period in Athenian history when it was illegal to import figs, a luxury item. Before Europe had contact with the Far East and sugar cane, the ancients used honey and sweet fruits like figs to improve the taste of various food and drinks. Figs, in Athens, an important commodity, bled a lot of money from the city, at least according to this etymology. So importing figs was made a crime. Now, if you had a beef with someone and wanted to see him arrested, but he was innocent of any offense, you could always say you saw him importing figs. But you'd need a witness, a role which was filled by a particular type of underhanded con man willing to do anything for money, a so-called fig informer, who for a fee would agree to back up your false charge in court that the person you wanted to bring down was importing figs. That's quite an etymology, so specific and complicated that it's inspired the skepticism of more than one expert. Another very different explanation provides a much simpler history for the word. Showing the fig is said to have been a crude gesture because of the purported resemblance between figs and female genitalia. Fig showers were thus low-class political hangers-on, famous for using that gesture. I guess we'd call them the finger wing of their party. It's unclear which etymology is valid. Perhaps neither. Perhaps both. Words, as we've noted before, don't have to have only one source. To end this catalog of words to memorize, please turn to page 255 and look at the list of sentences with Greek words in them. These terms have come into English directly from ancient Greek, so you'll see all sorts of suffixes here you don't recognize. They're really the original endings required by the Greek language. Let's examine a few of these, beginning with number 4, bathos, meaning sentimentalism. Number 9, encomium, learn the singular, not the plural, encomiums, meaning glowing praise. Number 10, enigma, meaning riddle. Number 12, hoi polloi, meaning the masses, the common crowd. Number 15, miasma, meaning a bad smell. On the next page, number 17, panacea, meaning a remedy for all difficulties. And finally, number 21, plethora, meaning an oversupply of something. Please memorize the definitions of the words above, but know that I'll test your knowledge in matching exercises only. You won't have to give me the definitions on your own. And that's it for this audio presentation. Happy etymologizing!